Hawaii America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. The largest doctors group in America is throwing its support behind cloning for research purposes. The American Medical Association has deemed the use of stem cells derived from cloned embryos as being consistent with medical ethics. The AMA approved the recommendations from its Council on Ethical Judicial Affairs in its annual meeting in Chicago. The doctors do stress the critical importance of appropriate oversight of this research and safeguards for those subjects willing to participate in cloning for biomedical research. An Army sergeant allegedly said he attacked his comrades at Camp Pennsylvania during the war in Iraq because he believed U.S. troops were going to kill and rape Muslims. A special agent looking into the crime Sergeant Hassan Akbar is accused of said Colonel Ben Hodges informed him of the alleged confession. Hodges is Akbar's commanding officer. Akbar is the subject of a hearing in Fort Knox, Kentucky that will determine if he's to be held responsible for allegedly rolling grenades into the tents of his fellow soldiers. Two people were killed in the attack, and a 32-year-old Muslim could face a possible death penalty if he's court-martialed. The hearing is being held before Colonel Patrick Reinert, an Army Reserve officer who's on leave from his post as the Assistant U.S. Attorney in Iowa. He has 10 days to determine if Akbar should face a court-martial on two counts of premeditated murder and three counts of attempted murder. The charges against a New York woman who beat her ex-boyfriend to death with a shoe have been dropped. The Brooklyn District Attorney dropped the charges, saying an investigation revealed Anne Reinhart was acting in self-defense when she beat Roosevelt Bonds to death with her size 12 high-heel shoe. Witnesses say Bonds had a violent history with Reinhart, and the troubled relationship came to a head the night Bonds went to an after-hours club and fought with Reinhart.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
As the temperatures climb, firefighters in California and the rest of the western U.S. are preparing for what could be another record-setting wildland fire season. California fire officials kicked off a public information campaign today, warning people living in fire-prone areas to make their homes as fire-safe as possible and to be prepared to evacuate if necessary. Fire conditions are so ripe in parts of the state that evacuation plans have already been drawn up. A fire danger map of California appears to be on fire itself because the colors used to show high fire danger, yellow and red, blanket the state. Similar conditions exist in Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada. State fire experts from the 11 western states will hold a conference call tomorrow to discuss the fire danger in the West and how best to respond to any fires.
How can I keep her safe when she always seems to be running away from me? It used to be so much easier to find solutions to her problems. Now, I don't even understand the questions, let alone have any answers.
The Girls and Boys Town National Hotline can help you find those answers. We've been working with teenagers for over 50 years and would like to share what we've learned about parenting. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3000.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Thousands of copies of the new Harry Potter book have been stolen from a depot in northwestern England. The haul of long-awaited issues of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is thought to be worth $1.68 million. Suzanne Chislett reports.
It's the most anticipated book in the history of publishing. J.K. Rowling's fifth installment of the magical adventures of Harry Potter will be released in stores around the world at midnight on June 21st. In Britain, many shops plan to open seconds after the official release time. But now thousands of copies of The Order of the Phoenix have disappeared. A man posing as a lorry driver reportedly drove off with the truckload. The vehicle was found several miles away, but there's no sign of its precious cargo. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Stocks were up slightly higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 4 points to finish at 93.23. The NASDAQ was up 2 points to 16.68. The S&P 500 was up less than a point to 10.11. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Live from America's heartland, your humble and obedient servant, the man who says no to the flying monkey right, Mike Malloy.
And hello, yes, this is the Mike Malloy Show, but I'm Charlie Langton. I'm an attorney. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy today. He's a little bit under the weather, but I have been told on high authority that Mike will be back right here, same time tomorrow. So we're going to indulge me a little bit. We're going to have some guests and some topics today that I think you're going to find of interest. Everything is in the news. And I want to give you our numbers here to join me on this show for the next 3 hours. The number of the studio here is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Of course, we're on the website, streaming audio at www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, you may be listening to a satellite radio, Sirius Stream 145. As I have said, Mike Malloy, a little bit under the weather today. He just couldn't talk. So that's a real problem if you're in this business. It is very difficult. So I have been doing a talk radio for a number of years, mostly in the Detroit market. And so it's a pleasure for me to sit in for Mike today. But, again, I have been told he'll be back tomorrow. 1-800-TALK-YES, that is our number. There's a number of stories here that I want to focus on today that I think you'll find of interest. For the first time, there is a law professor who is actually doing a law review article and focusing on the history of whether or not convicted felons, these are ex-felons now, should be able to sit as jurors. Most states forbid, they ban the practice. Is this good? Is this bad? What's happening? That's coming up later on in the program. We'll be talking about that. It will get some attention because at least one state that I know of, Michigan, will join the wave in the United States of banning ex-felons from being jurors. Coming up later in the program. Also, we'll be talking about the Presbyterian minister who was removed from the church because he performed a same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage. Why? First of all, why did he do it? In direct violation of the church's teaching. But he is on a crusade right now. We'll be talking to people close to this. This is really a fascinating story. This guy gave up quite a bit, and he's got a real interesting story to tell. We'll explore that. For a long time now, I have been following, as an attorney, I'm following the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. In fact, before I die, I'm going to get myself to Cuba because I really do want to go to Cuba. I want to see what goes on in Cuba. Now, I've been told, though, that you cannot go to Guantanamo Bay. It is a part of Cuba that is a United States possession. And, of course, in case you don't know the story, back in about November of 2001, about 600, a little better than 600 people were taken, mostly from Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they were arrested. And in January of 2002, they were flown from their native countries to Guantanamo Bay. Now, the United States government did this. Now, we may know the story. They're being held there. But for the first time this week, some of the people who have been detained, by the way, without a hearing, without a trial, they're talking for the first time. And what they're saying, the few, only about 41 people of the 680 or so people that have been detained at Guantanamo Bay are talking. What they're saying is shocking. It is absolutely shocking. There have been suicide attempts by these people. The living conditions are such that they were kept in small wire mesh cells. They measured about 6.5 feet by 8 feet. They were in blocks of 10 or 20. They were covered by a wooden roof. And this is where they lived. They were only allowed out once a week for a one-minute shower. Now, they protested, and I don't know that they got a little bit more, but this would seem to be the cruelest of conditions anywhere. And this is our government, this is the United States government doing this. Now, the justification is that these people are being investigated and that they may be involved in Al-Qaeda or other terrorist organizations. However, has there ever been a trial? Has there ever been an adjudication? Has there ever been anything? No! Well, what have our courts done? Well, there was a case that was upheld a lower court ruling in March of this year, and the court basically held that the people in Guantanamo Bay have no legal rights in the United States and further cannot ask the United States courts to review their detentions. Joining me on the line today, it is a pleasure to have him. He is an attorney. His name is Thomas Wilner. Mr. Wilner is a Washington attorney. He represents the families of 12 Kuwaitis who are detained at Guantanamo Bay. Mr. Wilner, thank you for being on the program.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I am fascinated, as I'm certain most of America is, and if they don't know, they should know. Is it my understanding that there are still over 600 people in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and that the status of their status is that they have no rights whatsoever?
Well, that's exactly right. There are over 650 people being held at Guantanamo Bay. Most of them have been held there now for a year and a half. The courts have held that they have no rights whatsoever. They've never been charged. They've been given no right to counsel. They've been given no right even to a preliminary hearing to see if there's evidence sufficient to see if there's probable cause to hold them. And let me say, Charlie, also,
sure,
the government really has admitted now, at least privately, that at least a half of these people should never have been brought there, are innocent. That's come out an awful lot now, and yet they've had no right, no tribunal by which they can prove their innocence.
You represent 12 Kuwaitis. There's actually people from all over the world, not just Afghanistan people and Pakistani people, but there are a number of countries being detained in Cuba. How did you get these clients, Thomas Wilner?
Well, let me just say there are people from over 40 different countries being held there. We were retained by the families of 12 Kuwaitis, and there are only 12 Kuwaitis there. But we were retained by their families back in April a year ago. At that time, the families didn't even know where their sons and husbands were. They knew they had been mostly in Pakistan teaching or doing work at the time of September 11th. Then they were missing, and they first retained us to try to find them. They thought that they might be held by the United States, but they didn't know.
And how did you end up? How did you find out that they were actually being detained at Guantanamo Bay?
Well, we tried to contact the U.S. government. The U.S. government refused to talk to us. Still has refused to talk to us. Won't talk to us formally and won't allow us to talk to any of them. But the U.S. government informed the Kuwaiti government that they were holding. First, they said 8 Kuwaitis who were there and gave the names. The Red Cross then informed us that they were holding all 12 of them at Guantanamo Bay.
Have you seen your clients?
We are not allowed to see them, not allowed to speak with them.
Hey, can anybody see these people?
Well, other than the government people who sees them, no. No one can.
The reports that's coming out today are kind of shocking about the living conditions that, I mean, if this half of this stuff is true, it should be investigated, I would think. But small wire mesh cells, multiple suicide attempts. Are these the reports that you're getting?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm encouraged that you are shocked. I hope other people are. You know, you've got to understand when the people were first taken down there in January a year and a half ago, they were described, and we saw them on pictures. These were people chained and manacled in orange jumpsuits, and they were taken into these cages. And the government said, these are the worst of the worst. These are the worst terrorists threatening us. And I think most people in the aftermath of September 11th said, look, we don't care. You know, these are probably real terrible terrorists. What came out after that, and was sort of shocking to me, too, is that these people weren't picked up in any scalpel-like investigation into who the terrorists were. We found out, and it's now, you know, admitted all around, the United States was paying substantial bounties to have Arabs turned into them, $20,000 an Arab terrorist. And there were leaflets printed out to Pakistani and Afghani tribes people saying, turn in an Arab terrorist and feed your family for life. And if you're an Arab in that part of the world, you became a very valuable commodity.
How did the United States advertise this bounty, as you're talking about, Attorney Thomas Woolner?
They distributed leaflets throughout the area in Pakistani and Afghani. And you know, it was really, I don't blame people, because in the aftermath of September 11th, we wanted to be overly inclusive, and we wanted to get anyone who could possibly have been involved. So we really just tried to round up everyone. But the fact is, a lot of time has passed, and these people are still sitting down there in a black hole with no rights whatsoever, no right even to prove their innocence.
Well, I want to get into some of the legalities. I want to do that just a little bit later on in the program. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. Of course, we're on the website, streaming audio at www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, we're on satellite radio at Sirius Stream 145. We'll just all over the place here. I want to know what you think about this. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number to call in the studio. I'm talking to Attorney Thomas Woolner, who actually represents families of 12 Kuwaitis detained in Guantanamo Bay. And, Mr. Woolner, you were the one that actually brought the case in the district court in the District of Columbia, where you practice law. And the courts, as I said earlier, they pretty much struck you down. Nothing.
Yes. Well, let me say, we brought a case not asking for the release of these people, but asking for the most minimal due process rights. Most importantly, we asked that they be allowed to go before some tribunal, very much like in a criminal case here. If somebody's arrested, within a short time they go before an impartial tribunal, and the magistrate or judge says, what evidence do you have to hold these people? Do you have any reasonable grounds for suspicion? We've asked that that sort of tribunal be instituted. By the way, that's something that this country has done in every other war. You know, we're doing it in the war in Iraq now. When we pick up people, if there's a question about them, they take them before a little tribunal, and you've got to have some evidence to have a reason for holding them. Anyway, that's what we asked for. What the government argued was that the courts had no right, no authority, no jurisdiction to look at this, because these are foreigners who they're holding outside the United States. Of course, outside the United States is Guantanamo, Cuba, which we've controlled for over 100 years and exercised all the elements of sovereignty.
Do you think that the court might have ruled differently if these people were being detained in Virginia or in Miami Beach or Nebraska?
No, absolutely the courts would have ruled differently. The government's ground was that they're outside the United States. But let me just say, Charlie, it's a very dangerous thing. What that allows the government to do is deprive our judiciary of jurisdiction simply by where it chooses to jail people. You know, you jail them in Virginia, the courts have jurisdiction. You take them right outside the border in an area where we control it, but we don't technically have sovereignty and the courts can't look at it.
A rare opportunity we have talking to Thomas Woolner. He is the attorney representing families of 12 Kuwaitis who are being detained, arguably illegally, in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The number over here is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, or pick us up on the website, www.ieamericaradio.com. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in for Mike Malloy. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Peter Worre Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did
you? Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this, that Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like
that? Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Worre Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Worre, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Worre, as we make plans to take back our country.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Mike Malloy Show.
Truth, what? Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Where else? Right here, Mike Malloy Show. Charlie Lighton sitting in for him today. Mike will be back tomorrow. Call me now. Continuing our discussion here about Guantanamo Bay and why these people are being detained. Number 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Of course, our website, streaming audio, www.ieamericaradio.com. Joining me as a guest here is attorney Thomas Wilner. He's a Washington, D.C. attorney. He represents the families of 12 Kuwaitis who are actually being detained as we speak at Guantanamo Bay. He was the attorney that argued the case in the District of Columbia Circuit Court for the release, or at least some better living conditions, or at least some due process, meaning the reason. And, Mr. Wilner, it's my understanding that one of the big reasons that the government is giving, or the argument that was made against you, was that the president signed a military order on November 13th, 2001. And the order that was signed by President Bush said that any non-citizen of the United States may be detained in accordance with a particular section of the order if the president determines, and it does say in writing, and that there is reason to believe that the person being detained is or was a member of an organization known as Al-Qaeda. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Attorney Thomas Wilner?
Well, actually, that does sound good, and that's the procedure that we've asked to apply. In fact, the president issued this military order saying, Charlie, just what you said, but then they never applied the military order. The president has not made a determination with respect to any single person at Guantanamo that there is reason to believe that they are a member or supported any terrorist organization or Al-Qaeda. All we're asking for is that order, that the president's order be implemented, that there should be some determination that could be reviewed, that there's reason to believe that these people could be suspected of terrorist affiliations.
Is it my understanding that the military order provides for no due process whatsoever? There's nothing in there that gives the president a criteria? I mean, what is a member? I mean, what does a member mean? How does the president make this determination?
Well, it actually, the fact is, the order has never been applied. The president issued a military order, and then he simply ignored that order. These people are being held without any determination by the president that they are members of or suspected of being members of a terrorist organization. These people were simply picked up and put down there, and then there's been no determination. Now, somebody can say maybe somebody lower down has made determinations, but, you know, cops can always make determinations. They have admitted that a lot of these people are there by mistake, and yet they're giving none of them the opportunity to say, well, what do you have on me? Why am I here? Maybe you've got a Thomas Q. Wilner rather than Thomas B. Wilner.
Well, that could be. Their mistakes have been made. How many people have we seen that have been detained for crimes that they didn't commit in the DNA evidence? But a different issue. But my information, Tom Wilner, is that your clients were far from Al-Qaeda members, but they were actually in Pakistan or Afghanistan doing charitable volunteer work? Is that right?
As we understand it, from the records of their families, they were doing charitable or teaching work in that area. Now, let me say, a lot of people say that charitable work was used as a cover for terrorists. And I'm sure in some cases it was. But in some cases it was not. And there are some innocent people, and you've got to give them a chance to show that they're innocent, or at least you need to show why you're holding them there. What evidence do you have on them? And let me say, I'm the first one to say, if we have some evidence, you know, we want to be tough because of September 11th, but we can't just let executive officials or cops go out and do what they want without some sort of review, which is all we're asking for. That's fundamental to our system.
Are you taking this case to the Supreme Court?
We're going to take it to the Supreme Court, and hopefully the Supreme Court will look at it, because what we're really talking about are the principles upon which this nation was founded. You know, we want to fight terrorism, and we want to protect our nation's security, but at the same time, we've got to protect the principles upon which the country was founded.
All right. Attorney Thomas Wilner is with me. He is the attorney that represents families of 12 Kuwaiti detainees at Guantanamo Bay. I'm going to get to your calls. The lines are lighting up here. 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Of course, log us in on the website, www.ieamericaradio.com. I know Mike has been holding for a long time, and I'm going to get to him when we come back after this break. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in for Mike Malloy.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. With less than 2 weeks to go before a contract covering 650 employees expires, managers of the Baltimore Sun are hedging their bets against a strike. The Sun is seeking replacement workers from other newspapers in the vast Tribune Company. Strikebreakers are being offered normal pay plus the salaries of those they're replacing, along with a daily stipend and room and board expenses. The Sun has also offered a $1,000 signing bonus to employees should they accept the paper's current proposal, a contract that union negotiators with the Baltimore-Washington Newspaper Guild say falls far short of the union's demand for $6 annual raises and greater job security.
Workers in the UK will be better protected from workplace stress thanks to a new probationary government code that went into effect yesterday. The code requires all employers to identify and study stress factors on the job classified under six different categories. They must then implement plans to reduce the stressors, and if a majority of workers don't feel the company has successfully lessened workplace stress, they or the government can sue for damages. For the time being, the code is in a testing phase with mandatory implementation expected next year.
A protest over sweatshop conditions in Cambodia's clothing factories turned deadly last weekend. Garment workers in Phnom Penh's textile district had been demanding higher wages in the reinstatement of a fired union supporter when riot police opened fire with Kalashnikov rifles, killing one and injuring 16 others. According to the National Labor Committee, Cambodia's 200,000 garment workers are mostly young women who work up to 80 hours per week for as little as $35 a month. They produce clothing sold at such U.S. retail chain stores as Banana Republic, Nike, Adidas, Old Navy, and The Gap.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
And this is the Mike Malloy Show. Charlie Langton today sitting in for Mike, who is a little under the weather. He will be back tomorrow, though. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's the number here, 1-800-825-5937. Or on the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. Or, of course, on satellite at Sirius Stream 145. I am talking to attorney Thomas Wilner. He is an attorney representing families of 12 Kuwaitis who are being detained at Guantanamo Bay, presumably because they are members of Al-Qaeda or a terrorist organization, but there's never been an adjudication. And an American court said, we're not going to get involved. We're going to keep these detainees there. There's about 680 of them. A story in today's news, for the first time, the lucky about 40 people who have been released from Guantanamo Bay after being there for well over a year. Some people are talking about the conditions in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay. For example, they were kept in small wire mesh cells, 6.5 feet by 8 feet. They were only allowed out of this cell for once a week for about a 1 minute shower. There have been 28 suicide attempts, and it doesn't seem that anybody is doing anything about this. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's the number to call. Mike from Washington, D.C., you're on with attorney Thomas Wellner.
Yeah, good afternoon, Charlie. Two points. One, I had a question for Tom. I heard a report in the news that the government made some kind of an idiotic statement about the people in Guantanamo are as untouchable as prisoners in Germany or Russian prisons. Is that correct? Did they actually say something like that?
Thomas Wilner?
They said that. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I couldn't hear it that well.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I heard in the news was the government had argued that the people in Guantanamo are, as because they're outside of the United States, are as unavailable to America as a prisoner in an American prisoner in a German jail or a Russian jail.
Well, that's sort of what they argued. What they argued is because these guys are foreigners and because they're outside the territory of the United States, no court has jurisdiction. Let me say, though, that there's that is the argument they made. What that does, though, you know, you got to think about this. We are all foreigners outside of our own country. And the argument that the United States is making here actually exposes our citizens to risk when they are abroad. One of the reasons we have international laws and international laws of treatment of, you know, due process is that we want our citizens protected when they're abroad, too. We want to be able to argue when somebody's in China or Germany or Russia, you can't treat these people badly. And we're jeopardizing that by saying that we have no jurisdiction over them because they're foreigners outside the country.
Mike from Washington, D.C., are you thinking here that maybe the government or the court system, at least here in this country, just really doesn't want to get involved because this is a war and a war effort, and they just want to say hands off?
Absolutely, because the problem of it is, like I said, the statement that I heard was, okay, they're as untouchable as prisoners would be in a Russian or a German jail. Problem of it is, we do not have de facto authority over Russian or German jails. We do have de facto authority and sovereignty over Guantanamo. Because Cuba does not, we will not allow them to. We have treaties with them, extorted, but treaties nonetheless, which grant us essential sovereignty over Guantanamo.
Let me ask Tom Wilner, Tom Wilner from Washington, D.C., representing 12 of the families of the 12 Kuwaitis being detained in Guantanamo Bay. And what strikes me, and I'm an attorney, I'd be weird if I never met my client. And Tom Wilner, you've never met your clients, so you don't really, it's a little bit difficult for you to communicate or find out exactly what's going on there. But don't we have an international court? In other words, would it follow that if our United States courts are saying we don't have jurisdiction, then does that mean that there's another court somewhere that would have jurisdiction, maybe in The Hague, for example?
No. Actually, the United States has taken the position that no court has jurisdiction over these people, that they are an illegal no-man's land. Nobody can touch them. And if another international court tries to make a ruling with respect to them, and this is Mike's point was really a very good one, that, you know, if another court tries to take jurisdiction over them, the fact is that the United States is holding them and the United States isn't going to follow the orders. What the United States is basically saying is no court could look at what we're doing. You know, we are operating outside the law with respect to these people, even though it's in an area like Guantanamo, which we've controlled for 100 years as our, you know, essentially sovereign territory, although we don't have technical sovereignty over it.
We're not allowed to go to Guantanamo, right? I mean, we just can't go there.
No.
It's a protected military base.
That's right. That's right.
Has there been a precedent at all? I know in some of the papers that you've talked about, Tom Wilner, about that there's another case, a Micronesia case. Am I making too much of that?
No. The government relies, and this is very legal, but the government relies on a case that was decided after World War II when the United States arrested 27 Germans and accused them. They were in China and accused them of a war crime. The war crime was that they continued to fight for Japan after the surrender of Germany. And the United States accused them of a war crime. And then they were taken before a military tribunal. They had lawyers. They were informed of the charges. Of the 27, 6 were acquitted and 21 were convicted. Those 21 then tried to file a petition for a writ of habeas corpus. And they said, basically, you can't try us by a military commission. And the Supreme Court said that, yes, we can, and we're not going to grant habeas corpus. And it used terms that said we don't have jurisdiction to issue a habeas corpus writ. And the government has used that to say that that case should be used here to say that the courts have no jurisdiction over these people outside the United States.
But in that case you just talked about, there was at least a hearing, wasn't there?
There was a hearing, and they had lawyers, and they were, you know, listen, we want what these guys got. We want the right to have a hearing. We want the right to be acquitted.
1-800-TALK-YES is the number here, 1-800-825-5937, or join us on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. And we're on Sirius, stream 145. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in for Mike Malloy today. My guest is attorney Thomas Wilner. He is the attorney that represents 12 families of people being detained at Guantanamo Bay. He's also the attorney that actually argued the case in the courts, and he is contemplating taking his losing decision, but the decision to the United States Supreme. We don't like to talk in terms of losing there, Tom, but the reality is you did. Is it my understanding, Tom Wilner, that if I was a prisoner of war, that I'd have more rights than what these people are getting at Guantanamo Bay?
Yes. I mean, if you were a prisoner of war, you could not be held in isolation in a little cell in a mess, you know, in a mesh cage. You would be held very much like we see in Stalag 17. You'd be held together. You could elect the leader of your group. The issue of prisoner of war is an interesting one. You know, and a lot of people confuse it. But basically, under the laws of war, the Geneva Conventions, there are really two categories of people. If you're in an army, then you know, what you do during the war, you kill people during the war, and you can't be prosecuted for killing if you're a valid soldier. If you're a civilian, you're protected from the war, but if you act in the war, then you could be an unlawful combatant. And that's what the president has really said here, is all these people are unlawful combatants because they weren't wearing uniforms. They were dressed like civilians. What we're saying is, and as the government has privately acknowledged, some of these people, in fact, were just civilians. And there's a procedure under the Geneva Conventions where you have these tribunals, impartial tribunals, to say, is a guy a lawful combatant? Is he a prisoner of war? Is he an unlawful combatant? Or is he there by mistake? And all we want is that procedure. So you could see whether people are there by mistake.
That is a legal term, unlawful combatant, that just didn't pop up because of this?
No, it is a legal term. It's really, you know, you're a lawful combatant if you're in an army and you engage in the conflict. If you're not in an army and you're just a civilian and you go out and you start killing people, you're an unlawful combatant. And that's so. I mean, those are unlawful combatants. And you can be prosecuted. You know, a soldier can't be prosecuted for killing somebody during the war. A guy who's a civilian and goes in and kills people can be prosecuted for murder. But there have always been, in every war, you know, we've done it every war we've been in Vietnam and these other wars, we realize that sometimes you catch up people who are there by mistake, and a lot of these people are there by mistake.
All right, let me take some calls. I'm talking to attorney Thomas Wilner. Again, he is the attorney from Washington area. He represents families of 12 Kuwaitis who are being detained at Guantanamo Bay. The story in the paper today is that the conditions of some of the people that are talking at Guantanamo Bay are horrendous. Short, little tiny cells, very little bathing, suicide attempts. It's horrendous. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. www.ieamericaradio.com, Sirius, stream 145. Robert from Washington, D.C., you're on the Mike Malloy Show with me, Charlie Langton.
Hello, gentlemen. Had a couple of questions. It seems to me that this whole ruling basically gives almost ultimate power to the Justice Department, because it would seem that anyone seized for any reason, so long as they are then taken outside the country, could be declared an enemy combatant, and that they would not then be allowed to have evidence or trial or anything.
And it's just a strike of the pen by the Justice Department. Thomas Wilner, attorney, would you go that far?
You're making it. That's exactly right. And this doesn't depend, as a matter of fact, the theory of the government does not depend on there being a state of war. You could do this in a war on drugs, or a war on something else, as well as a war on terrorism. And you could as soon take a Canadian citizen off the streets of Toronto and spirit him away to Guantanamo as an Arab citizen off, the streets of Islamabad.
The order
absolutely
does,
right.
Thomas Wilner, the order does say non-citizen, though. We can't go have a government run amok of just taking our own citizens.
No, this would be, you're right, it would be any non-U.S. citizen in any circumstance, so long as he's a non-citizen and you hold him off the shores of the United States, there could be no court review, you know, just total discretion in the government to do that.
Mm-hmm. To me, that makes a lot, that causes the provisions in Patriot Act 2, or what is it, the Homeland Security Defense Enhancement Act, whatever they're calling it, where they can then strip anyone of their citizenship for essentially any reason. I would assume then that that's kind of the missing piece of the Justice Department's puzzle here, if you will.
Well, that's another piece of the puzzle. That's right. You could strip somebody of their citizenship,
and then detain
them away, and then there's no review.
Oh my goodness, Robert. Robert, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Good insight. Marianne from Aurora, Illinois. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Charlie Langton and attorney Thomas Wilner.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Wilner. I would like to commend you for what you're doing for these people. However, I see that the efforts of you and many, many other people trying to hold back the whole Bush assault on rights, not just for combatants from other countries, but our own citizens. I mean, this is just one big all-fronts assault, one part of an all-big all-fronts assault from this government on just basic human rights in general. And, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, trying to go piecemeal through the courts that are stacked with white wingers. I mean, there was just some ruling today by the appeals court, I believe, that they were trying to get names from the people held by the Justice Department inside the United States.
Yeah, the government, the ruling today was that the government can keep secret the
right.
names of hundreds of people arrested and detained after September 11th.
This was one of the members of the appeals court was this one Judge Sentell, the same guy who was involved in just constructing this ludicrous legal fiction that tried to bring Bill Clinton down. I mean, these guys, the Bush administration and all their minions, are just trying to utterly corrupt, use the law, corrupt it, so it will be completely unusable, not just for people from other countries, but for our own people. And I'm wondering, you know, I applaud Mr. Wilder's attempts to represent these people, but what kind of success does he think he's going to get? I mean, presumably this may go up to the Supreme Court. I mean, really, what is the chances of beating back this assault from the Bush administration?
Stay on the line, Marianne. You make a good point. Thomas Wilner, what do you think? Is this a political move?
Mary, you do make a good point, but let me say a few things about it. First of all, there's no doubt that the courts today are very conservative, but that doesn't mean we could ignore them. That's one thing we're trying. Another thing, frankly, is talking on this show. Trying to get people to realize what's going on, trying to get, you know, we are a democracy. Ultimately, people being aware of these things can take them into their own hands and can say, look, this is wrong. We can do something about it. They could write their congressmen. They can write their senators. Not enough people are concentrating on this. And let me just say, you know, I don't think that the Bush administration is evil as such. I think what they're doing is they're concerned about the security of the country, and that's all they're concerned about.
I respectfully disagree with you.
Whether,
I think they have exploited. They've not only let us vulnerable and allowed us our guard down to allow 9/11 to attack, but they've been exploiting. They've been doing nothing to make us more secure. They've been doing everything to exploit hatred and conflict all over the planet. So, you know,
Mary, I don't disagree with your conclusions. I think my point is that we've got to say that we can protect the security of this country and protect our civil liberties. Those are things we could do, and that's what we need to fight for.
All right, hold on
we
there.
We lose our soul if we don't do that.
Absolutely
All
for
right.
that.
Hold on, Marianne and Attorney Thomas Wilner, please stay with me for the break. I want to come back to this. I think Marianne made another good point about the politicalness of this and where we go from here. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy. Join our conversation. I'm talking to Thomas Wilner. He is the attorney. He argued the case in the appellate courts trying to get some due process for the 600 and so people. He represented 12 of them, of course, but at least the people being held at Guantanamo Bay Cuba. Our numbers here, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Of course, we're also on the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. And we're on the satellite. We're all over the place. Sirius, Stream 145. Again, I'm Charlie Langton. I am sitting in for Mike Malloy. He is a little ill. He'll be back. We're talking about Guantanamo Bay, the prisoners there, the story of the paper today about the conditions in Guantanamo Bay. Horrendous. Sickening. It's got to make you mad. 1-800-TALK-YES. What can we do about it? Back in a moment.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
And I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy today. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number here. 1-800-825-5937. Or on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. Sirius Stream 145. Why are people being detained in Guantanamo Bay? There is no chance of these people seems to be getting out. The conditions, as released in the story in the papers today, the conditions are terrible for these some 650 detainees representing 40 countries. There's no due process. My guest, attorney Thomas Wilner, who represents 12 families of the detainees, took his case to court, but he lost. The appellate court struck him down. Why? Dwayne, Middleton, Connecticut, you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Charlie Langton and attorney Thomas Wilner. Dwayne?
Hi, how you doing? I kind of disagree with this belief that they're somehow they don't deserve, that their conditions are somehow atrocious. I mean, a lot of these people there are Al-Qaeda terrorists from Afghanistan. Weren't they plotting to overthrow our country?
Thomas Wilner, can you address that? Do you have any direct information that the stories that we're hearing in the papers, they seem to be quoted by the various news organizations that we always quote? Thomas Wilner?
Dwayne, let me say something. You know, if we could be sure that everyone down there was a guilty Al-Qaeda terrorist who tried to destroy our nation, I think most of us would agree, let's string them up. But the fact is, we can never be sure that everyone is. And we know the government has privately acknowledged that at least a half of the people down there are taken there by mistake. As soon as you know that you've got innocent people down there being kept for over a year and a half in cages, you know, does that make you feel differently? One of the reasons we have a process of law in our country is that we know that government officials sometimes, even though if they can be well-intentioned, can be overzealous, and they can take in some people who are not guilty. And they've admitted that so here, and yet we're doing nothing about it. We're ignoring it.
All you're asking for, Attorney Thomas Wilner, in your petition to the various courts, and ultimately it looks like the Supreme Court, is a hearing. And as you say, some of these people there may be members of Al-Qaeda. Some of these people might be innocent. And until they get a hearing, we'll never know.
Well, and, you know, let me say something else about that.
There 15 was a time seconds. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go on. That's okay.
No, I didn't want to cut you off. You are a fabulous guest today, Attorney Thomas Wilner. I appreciate it. And again, just for the record, you are going to the Supreme Court, right?
We are going to the Supreme Court.
All right. Thomas Wilner, we're going to get you back here one of these days give us an update. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll certainly keep this story in mind.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy. Another hour coming up. 1-800-TALK-YES. This is www.ieamericaradio.com.
Warby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Warby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Phoenix Catholic Bishop Thomas O'Brien has been charged with a felony for leaving the scene of a serious or fatal accident. O'Brien is accused of leaving the scene over the weekend after he allegedly hit a man who was jaywalking. The man died. Maricopa County District Attorney Rick Romley told a news conference that his office has filed a direct complaint against O'Brien. Romley said that triggers a public hearing in front of a Superior Court judge who will determine probable cause on whether further charges will be filed. Romley says he has instructed the Phoenix Police Department to continue the investigation by reconstructing the events prior to the accident. He told investigators to retrace O'Brien's steps. Liberia's government has signed a ceasefire agreement with rebel groups. Lori Yama reports.
For the past 3 years, rebels have battled with the forces of President Charles Taylor, trying to force him from power. Mr. Taylor, who was elected 6 years ago after a seven-year civil war, has said he will step down when his term ends in January. But the rebels want him out of power within 30 days, and that's apparently in the ceasefire agreement. The rebel groups control more than two-thirds of Liberia. Mr. Taylor has been indicted for war crimes by a UN-backed tribunal and is demanding the indictment be dropped. The ceasefire reportedly provides for the deployment of 2,000 West African-led peacekeepers while negotiations are underway for a full peace accord. Laura Iyama.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke-Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke-Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
A Dale City, Virginia baby is clinging to life after apparently being poisoned with antifreeze. Prince William County police say they're interviewing people who are believed to have had recent contact with the child. The three-month-old was rushed to the hospital Friday, and a chemical found in antifreeze was discovered in the baby's system. Cincinnati Firefighters Union President Joe Diebold says that union members have overwhelmingly voted to ratify a contract agreement reached with the city last week. Diebold says that the contract addresses one of the major concerns of firefighters.
We've taken on new responsibilities with weapons of mass destruction and terrorism under Homeland Defense. And we felt that we need to be paid for those new job descriptions, so to speak. And we've got a fair raise under the current economic situation.
Diebold says as part of the contract compromise, the firefighters have agreed to cut back on the number of paid sick days. The contract will now go before the Cincinnati City Council tomorrow for final approval.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, along with other civil rights groups, have filed a federal class action lawsuit against retail clothier Abercrombie & Fitch. Richard Santiago has more.
Lawless Thomas Sines says the retail clothier has already been investigated for their so-called A&F look.
The resulting overwhelmingly white workforce led the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to conclude that, quote, Latinos and blacks as a class were denied permanent positions.
Anthony Ocampo is one of the defendants.
They said, I'm sorry, we can't rehire you because there's already too many Filipinos working here.
Abercrombie did not respond to a request for comment. In Los Angeles, I'm Richard Santiago.
Stocks edged slightly higher today, with Wall Street catching its breath after yesterday's rally. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 4 points to finish at 93.23. The NASDAQ edged higher by 2 points to 16.68. The S&P 500 eked out a gain of less than a point to 10.11. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. From America's heartland, your humble and obedient servant, the man who says no to the flying monkey right, Mike Malloy.
And welcome to the Mike Malloy program. This is Charlie Langton. I am sitting in for Mike today. He's a little bit under the weather. It does happen. In fact, he could not talk at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, which is, depending on which coast you're on, it's about 7 hours ago. He was out of commission, but he will be back tomorrow, he promises, and I can assure you he'll be there. My number here, 1-800-TALK-YES, that's 1-800-825-5937. We're also on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com, and we're on satellite, Sirius Stream 145. Give me a call, talking about some of the issues of the day on this program. As I said, I'm Charlie Langton. I am an attorney. We're going to make not all the topics necessarily legal topics, but the law has a way of just creeping into the system. And I just want to extend a personal thank you to Attorney Tom Wilner, who was on just before. He was the attorney who is arguing for to try to get some due process for these detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. These people are there, and the stories in the paper today is that some of the people, the lucky people who have managed to get out of Guantanamo Bay, are talking, and they're saying that the conditions there are just simply horrendous. Small living quarters. They can't bathe. There's been suicide attempts, and who knows what else is going on. Even the attorney, Tom Wilner, wasn't able to talk to his clients who are being detained at Guantanamo. If you want more information about what's going on in Cuba, from the man who's actually doing something about it by taking his case to the courts, log on to KuwaitiDetainees.org. That is a website that features a number of well-reasoned articles and it'll give you the update as to what's going on in Guantanamo Bay. And it's put together by our guest, Thomas Wilner, KuwaitiDetainees.org. Thank you again, Tom Wilner. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to be talking about whether felons, convicted felons, have a right to sit as jurors. You may be shocked, you may not be shocked, to find out that in most states of the United States, if you are a convicted felon, you lose your right to participate in the jury system. Is it good? Is it bad? It's the law, no matter what. 1-800-TALK-YES. Before, I want to talk about another issue of the day. The story in that just broke, actually it broke about a week or so ago in Canada. The Canadian courts determined, or at least recognized, a marriage between a same-sex couple. And this was an appellate court in Canada. And it was the first time of in the North America, anyway, that a court recognized such a union, same-sex marriage. Well, today, the Prime Minister of Canada, Jean Chrétien, announced that he is in favor of changing the Canadian law to allow homosexual marriage. And apparently he will get this law passed, drafted, and the procedure in Canada anyway, it does go to the Supreme Court for a review and then put to a parliament vote. Of course, he's the Liberal Party, and he's got a majority in the legislature, so it should not be difficult for this law to pass. There was some talk a week or so ago that the same-sex marriage, that whole issue, would go up to the appellate court of Canada. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen right now, or if it does go up there, it'll certainly have the backing of the Prime Minister and presumably the Parliament. That is it's very interesting. I want to focus a little bit on that just a moment. Got a very fascinating guest I think you'll enjoy. Robin from West Virginia has been holding on the line. Again, 1-800-TALK-YES. Robin.
Yeah, hi, Charlie. You're doing a great job in some pretty big shoes.
Michael Malloy has nothing to worry about. This is fun. But thank you, Robin.
Well, what I wanted to bug you about, and frankly, it would have been interesting to get Tom's take on it, too. You know, when we go through law school, we are inculcated with almost a holy reverence for the judiciary.
True.
Because we have to have that.
Yep.
But I wonder, and I would have wondered what Tom thought as well, what does it do to one's soul as a lawyer when you see a supposedly independent judiciary that is on the bench for life and supposedly free from ideological or political pressures acting like a bunch of brown-shirted thugs like the gang of fascists that we have on the Supreme Court now.
Well, it looks like the Bush versus Gore case comes to mind as a great example. You know, Robin, you make a good point. When, especially in the federal system, now I don't know, it depends which state, I'm not familiar, I apologize for West Virginia, whether or not your justices or your judges are elected by
We elect our circuit judges, we elect our little common pleas magistrates, we elect our Supreme Court justices.
All right, we do that here in Michigan as well, and there's arguments for and against that, and you know, maybe that is worthy of a show topic because there's a lot of controversy about it. But in the federal system, as you probably know, those judges are elected. They're not elected. They're appointed by the president for life. And the whole idea about doing that is so that we could take the politics out of the courts.
Right.
And the problem is, though, is that you try to get a federal appointment. I don't know if you're a lawyer. You sound like a lawyer.
Yeah.
Robin. I got that.
I'm one who doesn't practice anymore. I got too disgusted and walked away.
Well, you know what, though? Tom Wilner made a real good point. I think it was Marianne, a caller, raised the issue that this is politics and the courts are engaging in the political process. And that's true. But you know what? You can't give up the fight. You've got to go ahead and fight. What I wanted to ask Tom Wilner was, what's the makeup of the judges on this appellate court? We know what the makeup is in the Supreme Court. And maybe this will be a confirmation hearing should something happen to our judges, at least on the Guantanamo Bay issue. But you try to get yourself elected or appointed to a federal court. And I tell you, good or bad or indifferent, you better be politically connected.
Sure.
And that's just the way of the world. It's a way we do it. I don't know of any other system. I see no movement whatsoever to change the way we appoint our federal judges. So what are we going to do? We have to play the game.
But, you know, what I was getting at is from a lawyering standpoint, it's got to be, on somebody like Tom, it's got to be a little bit hard on your soul to take that reverence that we're have beaten into us and to see the other side that we're supposed to be revering flouting their duty.
It's terrible.
You know, we've seen Congress abdicate its duties of oversight of presidential action, and now with what Mr. Wilner is dealing with, we're seeing the courts abdicate to the Bush administration out of this knee-jerk fear of national security.
Yeah.
If equal protection of the law means anything for anyone, it absolutely must mean it for these people in Guantanamo Bay. I was rather disheartened to hear that fellow that called before the news break saying, didn't they try to tear up our country?
Oh.
Maybe they did, maybe they don't, but these people are not being afforded a day in court in the judicial system.
Yeah, that's the whole point of that, is the judicial system, and don't mess with our judiciary. It is the best that we have when it's right. Are there abuses? Probably. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating to go up in front of a judge who already has a predisposition to rule a certain way. It's not good for the system. It's not good for the clients. It's not good for anything. And does it happen? You know, in my experiences, I'm in court quite a bit, actually, and I have to say, although we elect our judges, I don't practice a lot in the federal court, but when I do, you know, yeah, it's frustrating. I have to admit, it's very, very frustrating. But you've got to fight, and that's what Tom Wheeler's point was. You keep on going, you keep on raising it, and when people are talking about it, there tends to be mood swings in the country, and sometimes the pendulum will swing another way. I do think on Guantanamo Bay, I think we're going to see some movement. I hope the Supreme Court takes it. I really do, because I think it will certainly raise the issue and raise the awareness, and if half of what we're hearing about the conditions on Guantanamo Bay are true, we've got a lot of problems, not
but
only
you,
in this country.
But do you honestly think, aren't you a little bit afraid that if the Supreme Court takes it, that it's going to be a classic case of hard cases make bad law? I mean, can you really expect Scalia and Rehnquist and those thugs to do the right thing vis-a-vis the Constitution as opposed to the political thing? I think they've already showed us that they're not willing to do that with
honestly,
Gore versus Bush.
Honestly, I think if the Supreme Court takes it and affirms the lower court, it's going to be a political terrible for President Bush. Remember, in large part, it was President Bush's order after September 11th that gave this court the basis to do what it did, which is say, hey, we don't have jurisdiction here, which is kind of an easy way out. But I'll tell you, if the Supreme Court doesn't make a ruling that is sensible, all we're asking for is due process. That's all that Tom Wilner wants. He says that if you're from Al-Qaeda, then you should be detained, or at least something should happen. You are a terrorist, but you've got to be given the opportunity to state your case, and that's what's not going on in Guantanamo.
Yeah, because even the guys who committed the Boston Massacre.
Yeah, they got due process, too. All right. Hey, Robin, thank you. I do appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, that is our number. Great, great listeners, very well informed. I appreciate that on the Mike Malloy Show. My name is Charlie Langton. I touched on this a moment ago. I want to focus on what's happening right now. Canada allows same-sex marriages. There was a story, however, about a week or so ago, about a Presbyterian minister performing a same-sex marriage in violation of the church's policy. Well, he was thrown out of the church. He was removed as a minister of the Mount Auburn Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, again, for performing a same-sex marriage ceremony. Joining me on the line right now is someone who was there, someone who has followed this case for a while, the Reverend Mel White. He is also founder of Soul Force, which is an organization advocating equal rights for gay people. Reverend Mel White, thank you for being on the program today.
Hi, Charlie.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Phoenix at the Southern Baptist Annual Meeting. There's 20,000 Southern Baptists and about 200 Soul Forcees trying to help them understand the truth about gay people. It's going to take some time.
You think you're going to convince the Baptists that the gay people are an okay bunch?
Well, while we wait, one by one, they change. But, boy, it's a long, slow process.
What's the temperature out in Phoenix right now?
108.
Oh, my goodness. I had to ask. Hey, listen, I don't know if you heard the news, but Canada apparently is going to change its law. The Prime Minister announced today regarding same-sex marriages. Are you in favor of that?
Oh, I am. My partner and I, for 22 years, have been waiting for this moment. We probably will go to Canada and go through the ceremony. When the Ontario court said that they needed to issue marriage licenses, gay couples and lesbian couples all over this country cheered.
Mm. What we touched a little bit on the Presbyterian minister, and I do want to follow that up. And I know that you were there. But does this surprise you that the prime minister came about and came out in favor of gay? It's not reunions; it's actual formal marriages.
Oh yeah, it's formal marriage, and it's all the rights that go with marriage. And in America, it's about 1,047 rights and protections that go with state and federal law. That we are denied. And so when this happens in Canada, it makes it feel like maybe one day it's going to happen here.
Well, it's got to happen because, at least in Canada, I guess the issue from a legal sense, and you're not an attorney, I don't...
No, I'm not.
All right, good. That's fine. But whether or not a marriage that is valid in Canada will have the same force and effect in the United States, that's going to be a big issue. Reverend Mel White, founder of Soul Force, he's going to be talking about the Presbyterian minister who performed a same-sex marriage in Cincinnati, and he was kicked out of the church. We're going to find out a little bit more of that. 1-800-TALK-YES is my number, 1-800-825-5937, www.ieamericaradio.com. or Sirius Stream 145. I'm Charlie Lighton, sitting in for Mike Malone.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, healthcare workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
And Mike Malloy will be in this very chair tomorrow. He's sick. He's sick. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy. He will be back tomorrow. Join me, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. I'm waiting to take your calls. Also, you can get us here on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com, or on satellite at Sirius Stream 145. New story today that has of interest to a lot of gay people, the Canadian Prime Minister actually has come out and out of the closet, I guess, so to speak, and said that, yes, he is supporting a gay marriage or marriage for same-sex couples with all of the rights and privileges afforded non-same-sex couples. This stems from a recent case in Canada where a court ruled basically the same way that same-sex couples could, in fact, marry. And there's an irony here because this comes on the heels of a case in the United States that seems to go just the opposite. Reverend Stephen Van Kuyken, he is a Presbyterian minister in Cincinnati. He was removed by a church court because the Reverend Van Kuyken performed a same-sex marriage. In a statement, Van Kuyken said that the church is discriminating against homosexuals by forbidding gay marriages, and he feels an obligation to continue pressing for same-sex marriages. Joining me on the line now is Reverend Mel White. He is founder of Soul Force, that is an organization advocating equal rights for the gay people. He was in Cincinnati participating in the various protests and assisting, I would imagine, counseling Reverend Stephen Van Kuyken. Reverend Mel White, thank you for being on the program.
You're welcome, Charlie. Thank you.
What's Reverend Van Kuyken, what's he feeling like today?
Yeah, he is really feeling bad. He's lost his church. He's lost his vocation. He's lost his pension. He's lost his tenure. The Presbyterian Church decided to slap his wrists a few weeks ago for doing a same-sex marriage. He said he would continue. He did another one, and so they simply defrocked him. You understand, the Presbyterians say it's all right to perform a holy union, but they can't call it marriage. Van Kuyken decided to call it marriage, and so they took him out of the ministry.
You know, I was just looking at that because the information that I've got is that the Presbyterian Court, now that must be some kind of a tribunal within the Presbyterian Church, it ruled in 2000 that ministers may bless same-sex unions, but they can't marry couples. Is there a difference?
There's a very fine difference to the Presbyterians. They feel like marriage has to be, the name marriage has to be held inviolate for heterosexual couples, and that gay couples have the right to be together and to have their relationship blessed, but it shouldn't be called marriage, nor should they get all the rights and protections that go with marriage.
Is this a big issue because you, and I believe you've indicated that you have a partner, you've been living together for how many years? A long time?
22 years.
22 years. Well, do you need a piece of paper? Do you need some type of action by some governmental agency somewhat to say that this is a marriage? Do you need that?
Marriage is about civil rights. We can get the ceremony from our metropolitan community churches and other churches that have been welcoming and affirming. We can have the paper, but what we're seeking are the same rights and benefits that heterosexual couples have. It's very serious. For example, if I were to get sick, my partner can't even get into the hospital because he's not next of kin.
That's true.
There are literally hundreds and hundreds of rights we're denied. And so we're not struggling for special rights, but simply to get the same rights that other heterosexual couples get.
Do you feel that there's a movement in the country right now to maybe relax some of these laws, or are we thinking that there are more people like the Presbyterian hierarchy in Cincinnati?
I think there's a real move towards accepting gay and lesbian couples who live in loving, committed relationships. California now has approved domestic partnership rights, which include a lot of those rights we have been denied. Vermont, of course, does civil marriage, and that has been tested so that it's sure. not same rights if you get it married in Vermont as
right.
if you try to take that to California or to any other state, you don't get those same rights. So if we go to
All
Canada...
Right. Hold that thought one moment. Reverend Mel White is my guest. I want to pick this up after a break here. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. We're going to talk about gay rights and how far will we go.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say fires that are out of control burn up millions of tons of coal every year. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. A group of scientists say huge amounts of pollution and greenhouse gases are being added to the atmosphere by coal fires that are burning underground and at the surface. In the United States, there are coal fires smoldering in Pennsylvania and Colorado. Similar fires are burning in China, India, South Africa, and Australia. Glenn Strocker is a geologist at East Georgia College, and he studies the effects of these fires on health and the environment. Earlier this year, Strocker and his colleagues spoke about the consequences of these wildfires during a meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Strocker says underground coal fires pose a potential health risk. That's because gas from the burning coal accumulates toxins as it rises to the surface. The gas interacts with underground water in a way that draws chemicals out of underground rocks. Strocker says these chemicals include poisonous compounds such as arsenic and mercury. Strocker says the fires also release huge amounts of sulfur compounds and greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide and methane. Strocker says it's almost certain these fires are having an effect on the environment.
We do know that enormous amounts of carbon dioxide and other gases are being put into the atmosphere from these fires, and so it stands to reason that there must be some overall effect to the health of Earth's climate and to greenhouse gases themselves.
In China alone, wildfires consume an estimated 200 million tons of coal each year. Strocker says some fires in China have been burning for more than 200 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on!
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Now, in pursuit of truth, justice, and a decent cup of coffee, more of Mike Malloy.
And I'm Charlie Lyons, sitting in for Mike Malloy, who is sick today. He will be back tomorrow, though. You can get him right here tomorrow, same time. In fact, you can talk to him and find out if he's doing better. The number to call, call me tonight too, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We're also on the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. IEAmericaRadio.com, and of course on satellite radio, Sirius Stream 145 around the world, coast to coast. Just fascinating, having a lot of fun. My guest for this segment, Reverend Mel White, he is founder of Soul Force. He is talking about what happened just the other day. A Presbyterian minister was removed from the church because he performed a same-sex marriage. He doesn't look like he's going to get back into the church anytime soon. This reverend feels a need to talk out and to do something about it. Reverend Mel White, who has been with Reverend Stephen Van Kuyken throughout this ordeal in the Cincinnati area, talks today. Before we go on, let me just say, was there, as we said, a due process? Was there actually a hearing? Was there any hierarchy kind of trial of any kind where Reverend Van Kuyken could try and convince the hierarchy of the Presbyterian Church that what he was doing was really maybe a form over substance or so? Because the church does allow the blessing of same-sex unions.
Absolutely. The Cincinnati Presbytery of the United Presbyterian Church has a way of enforcing church law. And after Van Kuyken did the first marriage ceremony of a same-sex couple, they brought him up against, brought charges against him to the Cincinnati Presbytery. He was tried in a hearing, which we stood outside and registered our support for him. They told him that he did wrong and that he shouldn't do it again. He said, "My conscience says I must do it again." He did it again several weeks ago, so this time the Cincinnati Presbytery simply held a hearing saying that he would be defrocked, and he was defrocked as of Monday night and was asked to not return to his church.
He has no appellate rights then. Is he out of the church then?
No, he has no. He's been expelled, you know, he's been defrocked and expelled from the Presbyterian Church USA. So he's lost everything, and he's done it as a matter of conscience. A heterosexual minister who says this is wrong to not provide God's blessing on same-sex unions, and he paid a tremendous price for it. Like Jimmy Creech did, for example, in the United Methodist Church. One of their top pastors did it, and he was also defrocked.
What happened to the couple that he was trying to marry?
Oh, he married them, and it was after the marriage that he was defrocked and expelled.
Are they so then the couples, well, they have... See, they really have no standing anyway.
No, this is...
This is church.
Saying to the church right. That this is a couple that God loves and honors their relationship, but it has no legal standing in any of the 50 states.
Is your organization involved in trying to get legal standing in the 50 states?
Our Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund is our national lobbyist in the courts. These guys fight for our rights. We work with churches, like we're here standing with the Southern Baptists trying to help them understand how calling us sick and sinful and a threat to society. We, soulforce.org on the webpage, is really out to help the churches understand the spiritual violence their anti-gay religious teachings produce, the tragic consequences of those teachings.
Right.
Trying to get them changed.
1-800-TALK-YES is the number here, 1-800-825-5937. The website in streaming audio, www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, we're on the satellite, Sirius, Stream 145. My guest is the Reverend Mel White, founder of Soul Force. He has been following various issues around the country dealing with gay rights and equality for gay people, in particular in the church. Just before the break, we were talking about rights. You want rights. And I believe, as opposed to Canada, that seems to be leaning maybe a little more liberal in this area, I believe you indicated that the trend might not quite be there here in the United States.
I think there is a trend towards acceptance, but at this point, some of the major fundamentalist denominations and the Roman Catholic Church are fighting it like mad. By the way, Van Kuyken really protested this rather peremptory cutting off of his ordination. He calls it a non-judicial proceeding that circumvents the due process, that's afforded by the church courts. He says, I've done nothing wrong. I've performed a marriage that the session, his own church, has approved and instructed him to carry it out. So he's not only following the teachings of Jesus in his mind, but he's doing what his local church has said that he should do. And he's very determined that this was not a judicial proceeding, the defrocking.
Yeah, that was there. I mean, again, without getting into so in depth as far as the procedures within that particular church, the Presbyterian Church, but I don't know if there's a penalty, a defrock. It would seem to me that that's a pretty stiff penalty, but it's something that he kind of brought on himself. I mean, I guess you can try to change the church law, and if you fail, then you know you've got to abide by it or get out. I mean, that's, I guess, if he thought he had a fair hearing, I guess in changing the church law. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. Did he? Did he try to change church law?
Well, he did try to change church law. In fact, there have been for 35 years strong efforts by More Light Presbyterians and by We Shall Freely Serve and other organizations within the Presbyterian Church to get this changed. But the Presbyterian Church, like most of the denominations in this country, are so afraid of the issue because it's so polarizing that they continue to study the issue, Charlie, and never make a decision.
Why is that?
Well, it's just easier to hold things up in the air rather than coming down on either side. And so, you know, to not decide is to decide. And they've decided by not deciding that they will go on doing this this intolerance and injustice against gay people. And Mr. Van Kuyken, Reverend Van Kuyken, said simply, justice delayed is justice denied. And if the law is wrong, we have to break it. And if we have to pay a price, then that's what we have to do. But my conscience says it's worse to support, you know, he actually said these words, quoting Gandhi. He said, it is much our moral obligation not to cooperate with evil as it is to cooperate with good, and to continue to withhold his rights was for him cooperating with evil.
I was just thinking about Gandhi when you were saying that. In fact, you actually talk about the principles of Gandhi and Martin Luther King in your struggle for equality, don't you?
Yeah, we believe that nonviolence is a very relentless and wonderful power, but it can't be violent. That's why we stood by Van Kuyken throughout his trial and then through this defrocking. We held a rather moving candlelight memorial as he came out of the church after being defrocked and extinguished the candle. You know, a candle that burns at the front of the church indicates the presence of the Holy Spirit. We believe that when gay people and gay people's rights are taken out of the church, that the Holy Spirit goes with them. And so we really feel strongly that these churches are losing a lot more than their gay people.
All right, Reverend Mel White is with us, founder of Soul Force, an organization advocating equality for gay people, particularly in the religious world. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. A lot of issues surrounding not only this. The example that we're talking about is in Cincinnati, Reverend Stephen Van Kuyken, who was removed as minister of a Presbyterian church for performing a same-sex marriage. Are there any churches in the United States that allow same-sex marriages?
Yes,
the
Metropolitan Community Church, of course, is a church that serves primarily gay people who have been kicked out of their own churches. It's 60% Catholic and 40% Protestant or vice versa. They perform gay unions. Many open and accepting churches still do. The United Church of Christ is free too. Their national policy says it's okay to do that. We encourage it. But for the most part, 62 million Catholics don't. 13 million Jehovah's Witnesses don't. 32 million Baptists don't. And pretty much throughout the denominations, we are excluded.
And what you're looking for by having this, quote, piece of paper, say, is the same rights, so that you can go into a hospital room and sign as custodian or guardian, I should say, of your partner. And as you say, Reverend Mel White, you've been together 22 years. Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, there are so many long-term gay couples. We celebrated the other day a 60-year marriage of two gay men, of course, who can't be married. Mm. It's really important to distinguish between the civil authority and the religious authority. We don't think denominations should be forced to do this, but we believe that within the United States, that the civil authorities have the responsibility to give all citizens the same rights. So it's a very different struggle for marriage rights, R-I-T-E-S, and Rights, R-I-G-H-T-S.
I see.
We're trying to get the R-I-G-H-T-S by way of the courts. It's terrible that Van Kuyken was defrocked on the same day that the Canadians decided that to honor their gay citizens with full marriage rights. But he was.
I think that's an amazing contradiction. In one country, just a border apart, we have what seems to be two completely opposing, polarizing views. Are you familiar, Reverend Mel White, with there are a lot of businesses now that provide benefits to same-sex couples, like health benefits, retirement benefits, those types of things?
We're very excited that they have decided, these major corporations, and a good part of them have, that gay workers are so valuable that there's no reason to discourage them from coming to work. So the main major corporations all across the country, the airlines, the car manufacturers, and even unions are pushing for domestic partnership rights. And, of course, in Vermont and in California, you can get those domestic partnership rights even in the federal government. Federal employees, until Mr. Ashcroft came along, were getting domestic partnership rights. But last week, Mr. Ashcroft decided that the gay employees of the Justice Department couldn't even have a banquet, their annual banquet, in the Justice Building. So this tightening up goes along with Bush and his fundamentalist friends like Ashcroft.
Why is there what's the argument against if there seems to be this trend for at least benefits from the business side and the union side, certainly? Why do you think the Justice Department would not go along with it? I thought we had a don't ask, don't tell policy in our country. At least on the military issues.
Yeah, the don't ask, don't tell policy, which of course doesn't work, and today retired General Clark came out and said, who might run for the Democratic candidacy, said that he would immediately end the Don't Ask, Don't Tell because it doesn't work.
You're not in favor of that.
I am.
Oh, you are in favor of that.
Oh, yeah, ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell, allowing gays into the military. I mean, we are there now. Without lesbians, there wouldn't be an army. The fact is that they fired last month, they fired seven major wonderful gay interpreters, Arab-speaking Americans who were translating simply because they were gay, not because they were acting out, not because they did anything wrong. Military misuses millions of dollars of taxpayers' funds by firing gays out of the military. But
I don't recall that story. Is that was you're saying gay?
They fired
gay interpreters.
These are American. You know, these are gringos who have gone through the school in Monterey, the language school. And they just as the war is, you know, as they need desperately interpreters over there, they fired seven or nine of these guys who are so good at Arabic simply because they were gay. It's happening in all branches, at all ranks.
Reverend Mel White is my guest, founder of Soul Force, an organization advocating gay rights. He follows a lot of the issues, and we're talking about the Canadian Prime Minister saying that, the gay couples can be recognized in Canada. This comes on the heel the exact same day that a Presbyterian minister was kicked out of his church for performing a same-sex marriage. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. The website, www.ieamericaradio.com. We're also on Sirius, stream 145. My name is Charlie Langton. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy. Let's take a call, if we can, Reverend Mel White. Libby from North Carolina. You're on the program.
Hi. I just had one comment to make, and he's right about that firing. I read all about that. But I think that one of the truly ironic things, that it must be so heartbreaking for same-sex couples, is that at the very same time, though there's such a drive or such an attitude against, you know, and not to listen to them, at the same time, one of the biggest entertainment forms is watching television shows where it's like, okay, everybody call in and vote on who this person should marry, and it's a form of entertainment, like for the public to marry off strangers, don't even know each other, and you'll want this person because they have a lot of money. Oh no, they really don't, and that's just like makes such a game out of being married, and at the same time, it's the argument that they get is, oh, it's such a sacred thing.
Yeah,
and that's the comment I wanted to make.
That's a good comment, Reverend Mel White. What do you think about that?
Well, they always say to us, you can't have the rights until you're married, but you can't be married because you're gay. And so this whole business of recognizing the marriage or not recognizing it comes out of fundamentalist interpretation of the Bible. The Bible here has way too much power over civil authority. I say the Constitution must trump the Bible, or that we're never going to be free to disagree about what the Bible says. And you ask, Charlie, where does this resistance come from? This resistance comes directly from people like the Southern Baptists and these bishops and cardinals who say we're a threat to the family and that we will undo the... Can you imagine they're telling us that we will ruin heterosexual marriage if they give us those rights? We just can't figure out why our relationship threaten anybody else's.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of seems to be some inconsistencies there. We talked about politics too. I want, if you could stay with me during the break, Reverend Mel White. I want to talk about what President Clinton did in 1996, the Defense of Marriage Act. Maybe this is not such a partisan issue. Maybe the government in general is just against same-sex marriage. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Reverend Mel White is with us. Do you have a quick comment on what President Clinton did?
Yeah, President Clinton made a terrible mistake, and he admitted it afterwards. He's good at that. We love President Clinton for saying he was going to do some things that he didn't do, and to sign the Defense of Marriage Act when it was already illegal for us to be married, then making it illegal again was really sad. Now, 38 states have done their own Defense of Marriage Act, but all of these terrible legal decisions come out of religions pushing government to enforce their bad religion.
And we're supposed to have a separation of church and state, but we don't seem to have it on this matter. Is this because is this just so personal, I guess? That's probably why?
Well, I think they don't understand it, and so they wanted to fit, you know, they want to use the Bible. I mean, these Southern Baptists were using the Bible to support segregation and slavery and apartheid, and for years then they changed. And so I say they're going to change again, but too many people are going to be hurt in the meantime.
All right, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. On the web, www.ieamericaradio.com, Sirius, Stream 145. We're talking about gay rights in the United States with Reverend Mel White. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in for Mike Malloy.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Pudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Come, firebat.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
And Mike Malloy you will hear tomorrow. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, www.ieamericaradio.com, or you can hear us on satellite radio at Sirius, stream 145 across the whole world, I guess, at least the North America. I don't know. It's a lot of places. A lot of places. Reverend Mel White is with me. We're talking about a lot of issues affecting homosexuals. He's founder of the Soul Force, an organization advocating equal rights for gay people. A big decision came in Canada today, where the Canadian government looks like it will be the first major country. I think there are two other countries that actually recognize same-sex marriages, I believe.
Belgium and the Netherlands.
There we go. Belgium and the Netherlands. Trying to find out. Thank you, Reverend Mel White. Hey, were you at one time a ghostwriter?
Oh,
Billy
don't
Graham?
Bring up my past. I'm not going to bring up yours.
No, don't. But it's true. I read this here. You're a, I mean, if I think if I had to typecast you, I would not put you with a ghost writing for, say, Billy Graham, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell. Is this true?
Well, my agent was Swifty Lazar, and I had a doctorate in religion, so they sent me down to introduce myself to these folks to write their biographies.
Oh.
So I had a great time learning to meet and love these guys who are now the men who are taking the strongest stand against me they can.
What's Jerry Falwell like personally?
Well, we moved in September. My partner and I moved into a rented house right across from his sanctuary front door in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we've been sitting in the front row for the last 7 months looking up and smiling at Jerry. Today, we saw him at the Southern Baptist Convention, and he said hello, and he and Ralph Reed walked off hand in hand.
Well, yeah, you're making some progress, I guess, then.
I think so. I think they guys all know. All it's going to take is for Jerry to have twin lesbian granddaughters or something, and then suddenly he'll realize not only are we not a threat to civilization, but we're pretty great folk.
Doesn't Dick Cheney have a gay daughter?
Yeah, I feel sorry for her. I can't imagine what that would be like, but yes, he does.
What are the big issues coming up here that we should be following for gay rights coming up, maybe in the election?
Well, the headlines tonight, and I haven't opened up the AP stories yet, but says Mexico, the federal government and Distrito Federal just announced full rights to gay people in their country. So if we have the Mexicans and the Canadians both saying, okay, to be gay, you know, George Bush is going to have to get a clue, and I hope that during the coming next few years that George will be able to pull himself away from his right-wing religious supporters and see the difference between civil rights and religious rights.
Reverend Mel White, founder of Soul Force. You can find more about Reverend Mel White and the Soul Force. Just go online and you can get it. Reverend Mel White, thank you so much for being on the program. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in for the ill Mike Malloy. He will be back. Another hour is coming up, and we'll be talking about whether felons should be able to sit on jurors. 1-800-TALK-YES or www.ieamericaradio.com. I'm Charlie Langton on the Mike Malloy Show. Back in a moment.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Health experts in Toronto say the SARS epidemic that's plagued the city and surrounding areas seems to be slowing down. They say the number of active probable cases in Ontario has fallen every day for more than a week. The latest count put the number at 44 confirmed cases. There have been 33 deaths from the deadly virus in Canada. The decline in SARS cases comes as the World Health Organization warns people not to become complacent. The WHO says countries must remain vigilant even though they are starting to gain the upper hand on the disease around the world. The organization points out that a second SARS outbreak occurred in Toronto soon after the first outbreak ended. Norma McCorvey, also known as Jane Roe of the Roe v. Wade court case that led to legalized abortion in 1973, has filed a motion to have the judgment overturned. The filing today in Dallas federal court is an effort to have the case set aside based on changes in law and factual conditions since the ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court 3 decades ago. After her attorneys filed the motion, McCorvey declared, "I feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders." Flanked by dozens of women holding signs that declared abortion hurts women, McCorvey apologized for her actions that led to the high court's decision that legalized abortion.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you'll burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The City Council of Oklahoma City is refusing to get involved in matters of national security. City Councilman Brett Reinhart today offered up a resolution calling for the repeal of a federal anti-terrorism law known as the Patriot Act. The law was signed by President Bush in October of 2001 and gives the federal government wide-ranging powers intended to prevent further terrorist attacks such as 9/11. Reinhart says the law oppresses the civil rights of American citizens. Oklahoma City Mayor Kirk Humphreys criticized Reinhart's proposal, saying it's an issue for the federal government, not Oklahoma City. Humphreys also pointed out the Patriot Act was passed by the United States Senate by a vote of 99-1. The Oklahoma City Council voted 7-1 to indefinitely defer any decision on Reinhart's solution.
Harvard researchers say 3 out of 10 American households put more than half of their total income towards housing, and the dream of home ownership is becoming elusive even with low interest rates. Nick Ritsinas, director of Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies, says the report shows that Boston is second only to San Francisco when it comes to housing costs. Nationally, the median home price last year was $161,000. Retsina says researchers found that a majority of homes are owned by white people, and non-whites are not making many strides towards owning their own homes.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thousands of copies of the new Harry Potter book have been stolen from a depot in northwestern England. The haul of long-awaited issues of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is thought to be worth $1.68 million. Suzanne Chislett reports.
It's the most anticipated book in the history of publishing. J.K. Rowling's fifth installment of the magical adventures of Harry Potter will be released in stores around the world at midnight on June 21st. In Britain, many shops plan to open seconds after the official release time. But now thousands of copies of the Order of the Phoenix have disappeared. A man posing as a lorry driver reportedly drove off with the truckload. The vehicle was found several miles away, but there's no sign of its precious cargo. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Stocks were up slightly higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 4 points to finish at 93.23. The NASDAQ was up 2 points to 16.68. The S&P 500 was up less than a point to 10.11. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Live from America's heartland, your humble and obedient servant, the man who says no to the flying monkey right, Mike Malloy.
Well, he'll be saying no tomorrow night because Mike Malloy is not here. He's ill. He can't talk. And if he can't talk, it's difficult to do a radio show. Sorry about that. I'm Charlie Langton sitting in today for Mike Malloy. But Mike will be back tomorrow. I trust he will be back. He's probably listening right now saying, I want to be on there. I want to talk. But you can talk here. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. I want to know what you want to talk about. I'm an attorney. I do a lot of different cases in and around and try to follow cases. It's hard to pick up a newspaper without having something to do with the law. I just kind of, it's also all over the newspapers and the talk. A lot of things are very legally based. Sometimes they don't seem to make sense. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We're on the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, we're on the satellite as well at Sirius Stream 145. There's a story out of Mount Clemens, Michigan today about a man who spent about 12 years in prison for a rape that he did not commit. He got out because DNA testing proved he was not the person that could have committed this rape. The defense made a motion for a new trial. It was not opposed by the Macomb County prosecutor, Carl Marlinga, and therefore Kenneth Wynimko, who spent nearly 12 years in prison, was released. Now, that would be a good story, but what about the fact that he spends 12 years in prison thinking about every day, will he ever get out? He was sentenced to 40 to 60 years. Doesn't it make sense that maybe on all capital cases or all cases that are so serious where the potential for imprisonment is so long, maybe we should just do mandatory DNA testing? Wonder about that. Subject for a different show. But if you want to talk about it, give me a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. If you're a law professor, law professors have, a lot of time on their hands. That's not true. They tend to take a look at something and analyze it and go back to the ends of the beginnings of time to figure out why felons can't sit on juries. Now, this admittedly may not be the most burning issue, but in the legal world, taking away someone's right to a jury or getting a right to a jury by one's peers is a fundamental right. Now, if you've been convicted of a crime, you've gone through the process, presumably you've done your time, and you are done, right? Well, not really, because in many states, you don't have rights. You cannot own a gun. In some states, you can't vote. And it does appear now that there is a big movement afloat to ban any felon from ever sitting on a jury. What do you think about that? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Joining me on the line right now is Professor Brian Cult. He is a professor at Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law, and he is the professor that has written what probably will become the treatise in this area, whether felons should be able to sit as jurors. Hello, Brian Cult.
Hi, how are you?
Am I correct that your conclusion here is that most juries in the United States, if you're a felon, you can't sit on a jury?
Yes, that's the rule in federal juries, and that's the rule in 31 of the 50 states.
Why?
Well, it goes back to, as you adverted to, goes back to the mists of time when in England, back in the medieval times, if you were convicted of a felony, you couldn't sit on a jury because you were probably dead. They had the death penalty for just about everything, and if they didn't execute you, they would declare you what they called civilly dead, which meant that as far as the law was concerned, you didn't exist. And it has persisted, but what it means to be a felon now certainly has changed, and we don't have the death penalty for everything. People don't even go to prison sometimes. And with the war on drugs, there's just a skyrocketing imprisonment rate. And so the numbers have changed and really transformed what was a very minor provision into a very significant one.
Let's think about this. If you are a criminal defense attorney now, you are representing someone charged with rape or murder or some serious, serious offense. Would you want a felon to be a member of your jury? What do you think, Professor Brian Cult?
Well, maybe, maybe not. Like anyone else on the jury, in the jury pool, I think you would want to have a chance to see on an individual level whether this person would give your client a fair shake or not. And they don't even have that opportunity.
Is there any study that you found that suggests that once a felon, maybe always a felon, the ability to tell the truth, the presumption of honesty is just gone?
There are pretty good numbers from the federal government on recidivism rates, and recidivism rates are pretty high, especially after the first few years. But even first of all, we have a presumption of innocence. I mean, We don't say, oh, well, we think that you're probably going to commit a crime someday, so we don't let you on. We do limit it to convictions. But what if someone's been out for a long time and they've been clean? Or what if the case that they're sitting on has nothing to do with what their crime was?
A slip
and
fall.
It might even be a civil case.
Right. Most of the states, again, ban them. I mean, is this a scarlet letter? Is this the same type of argument that can be made that we should put convicted sex offenders on the registry? I mean, is this good practice? I mean, should the public, should the public know that that this person was once a sex offender, for example? I mean, is this a carryover from that thought?
It sort of is, and I admit it's not the most pressing issue to most people to say, oh, well, what we really need in this country is more felons on our juries. But if you look at all of the things that we do to felons, even after they're out of prison, this is the most common. This is the most common civil disability imposed. There was a lot of press, a lot of discussion about felons being stripped of the vote, especially with the 2000 presidential election. And there have been dozens of law review articles about it, lots of legislative debate, and there are only 8 states that ban you from voting for life for a felony conviction.
And Florida
31 states keep you off the jury.
And Florida being one of them, right?
Yes.
There's a statistic that you raise, Professor Brian Cult, Detroit College of Law professor, who's studying the effect on barring of excluding felons from serving on jurors, but you came up with a statistic that says that about this exclusion bars about 12 million American citizens from jury service, including about a fourth to a third of black men. Is this a racial issue?
Well, I don't know if it's an intentional racial issue, but I think that the numbers are too stark to ignore. As you mentioned, between some estimates as high as 37%, but I would put the number in the low 30s. About a third of black men in this country can't serve on a federal jury because of this rule, versus only a couple of percent of everyone else. And it's no secret that incarceration rates have this tremendous racial disparity, felony conviction rates. Whatever the reason is, I think it should give us pause that we are taking one-third of the black men out of the jury pool right off the bat. If we did that in any other way, people would be much more suspicious. But because we say, oh, well, it's because they're felons, not because they're black, this gets through the courts, and most people, if you ask most people, they'll say, well, you know, felons, they're not so trustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. But everyone else we treat as individuals. Everyone else we give a chance, and everyone else we force the parties to decide. We make them prioritize. Who do we want on this jury? Who do we want off? And I think there's an argument to be made that we should do that here. And the racial numbers don't relate directly to Jim Crow history, but I think it's very interesting. If you go back to the late 1800s, after civil rights had a brief heyday in the South, the Southern states, the white Democratic Southern governments came back in and used felon disenfranchisement, felon exclusion from juries as a way of getting juries, as a way of getting the electorate to be all white again. Mm. They would specify, for instance, in one state, they specified only certain crimes made you ineligible for jury service. And the crimes that they specified were things that were seen as crimes that black people would commit and things that they prosecuted disproportionately against black people. Yeah. Things like murder wouldn't keep you off of the jury.
Oh, it just seems to me that we would have such a much bigger problem going on here if we are excluding black people from African-American people from our judicial system. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. Sirius, Stream 145. Our guest is Professor Brian Cult. He is a law professor at Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law. He has just completed a study about why, or the historical reasonings, why convicted felons can never serve on juries. Is the jury service, is that a right or is that an obligation for citizens of the United States, Professor Kalt?
It's not a right in the same sense as something like voting would be, but it is part of being a citizen. It's part of being a member of the community. It's something that, whether it's a right or not, we can't discriminate against people in other ways. We can't keep people off the juries because they're female or because they're black or for other reasons. We want the jury, under the Constitution, the standard is that the jury has to be drawn from a cross-section of the community. And this is the most glaring exception to that that the courts have approved.
What about guns? Can convicted felons carry guns?
Well, there are a lot of restrictions on that, and it varies from state to state. But it's hard to get gun rights if you're a convicted felon. But this again, this is the most common, and the only way out in most of these states is to get a pardon.
Which
is the same with the gun rights, those are very few and far between.
You're never going to get a pardon from a governor. I don't think any governor or certainly the president in the federal system would ever give a pardon so that a felon could have a gun. Maybe there is some reason. Listen, once a felon, always a felon. It does seem to me, however, that there's a presumption going on here that lasts for life that may not be right, and that we are excluding a lot of people who presumably have paid their debt to society, that we would hope that would be rehabilitative and could go on and lead a normal life. And one part of being an American is the right to serve on a jury. Professor Brian Kalt, our guest. Stay with us. Join our conversation. 1-800-TALK-YES. www.ieamericaradio.com, Sirius, Stream 145. I'm Charlie Langton. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy today. We'll be back in a moment.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons,
screw texture or something like that.
Screw them. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 2 p.m. Then the Peter Werby Show turns up the heat a little bit from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers, beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Charlie Langton here, sitting in for Mike Malloy, who is ill today. He will be back tomorrow. I wish all the best to Mike, and I know that he is recovering. Sitting in today, talking about some of the legal issues around town and maybe legal issues that will pop up in the future. I am an attorney. If you have like to talk about some legal issues, or if you'd like to talk about what's going on in the world, give me a call. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number here. 1-800-825-5937. And as you heard, we're also on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, we're on the satellite, Sirius Stream 145. We're talking to my guest. He's a professor at Michigan, law professor at Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law. Professor Brian Cult is with us. He has just completed a rather serious legal treatise, a law review article, I believe they call it in the business, about whether or not felons should be excluded or banned from serving on juries. And it actually does have a rather stark a statistic that has come from this study is that felon exclusion causes a significant share of the citizenry from the jury pool. It excludes, of course, mostly a black men. And that's the conclusion by Professor Brian Cult. Is this an important issue? Should we be talking about this, Professor Brian Cult?
Well, one of the reasons I'm writing this is how surprised I was that we're not talking about it. Like I said, it's not the biggest issue facing our criminal justice system, certainly, but it concerns me. And with all the attention that we pay to the racial composition of juries and all the attention that we've paid to felons voting, I couldn't understand why no one had written about it, so I figured I had to do something about that.
And again, the conclusion, again, that it's disproportionate, it seems, I think, is a stunning statistic. I mean, I guess it shouldn't surprise me necessarily, because we've talked about in capital punishment, there's certainly a disproportionate amount of African-American, mostly men as opposed to women, that are in prison. And, you know, what are we doing about this, the equality? It doesn't seem to be right. By the way, is this article published?
No, I'm probably going to send it out in August.
All right. Let me take a call over here. My guest is Professor Brian Cult. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in for Mike Malloy. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Dave from San Francisco, you're on the program. Dave?
Hi, thank you. I'm not sure what your guest subject is, but I wanted to talk about this recall business that's going on out here in California against Governor Davis. It seems that the Republicans have gotten someplace in the neighborhood of 650 or 700 of the 900,000 signatures needed. They've got about a month to go yet, so it looks like they're going to get those signatures.
Give us an update for the rest of the country that might not be familiar, although it has been a story that's been talked about. There is a recall effort going on for Governor Davis. That's right. What's he accused of?
Well, the problem, I guess, as the Republicans are looking at it, is this $38 billion deficit out here. But what they're not telling anybody about, of course, is two things. Number one, a couple of years ago, we had a huge problem of ratepayers out here in California not able to pay for energy, electricity, and so forth. And it was just terrible. We had rolling blackouts all over the place. There were elderly who were in danger because of, problems in the summertime without electricity to provide air conditioning, for example.
Yes.
And this was a real problem. So Governor Davis, in an effort to help the ratepayers, got the state of California involved in buying and selling at reasonable prices so he could control the price of electricity, electrical energy out here in California, and reselling it so that ratepayers didn't have to pay as much for it and could afford it.
He's up for re-election this time, isn't he?
Well, he was re-elected in 2002. That was just 6 months ago or so.
So is there enough votes now to try to get him recalled, do you think?
It looks like it's going to get it's close enough that in another month, which is they need to have it by the middle of July,
right,
which is another month away, that they will have enough votes to do it. Now, there is an effort in Sacramento going to gather signatures and a petition to fight it.
Hold that thought, Dave. We've got a break for a break at the bottom of the hour here. I want to come back. Our guest is Professor Brian Call talking about felons on jurors. I'm Charlie Lincoln sitting in for Mike Malloy. Back in a moment.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. With less than 2 weeks to go before a contract covering 650 employees expires, managers of the Baltimore Sun are hedging their bets against a strike. The Sun is seeking replacement workers from other newspapers in the vast Tribune Company. Strikebreakers are being offered normal pay plus the salaries of those they're replacing, along with a daily stipend and room and board expenses. The Sun has also offered a $1,000 signing bonus to employees should they accept the paper's current proposal, a contract that union negotiators with the Baltimore-Washington Newspaper Guild say falls far short of the union's demand for $6 annual raises and greater job security.
Workers in the UK will be better protected from workplace stress thanks to a new probationary government code that went into effect yesterday. The code requires all employers to identify and study stress factors on the job classified under 6 different categories. They must then implement plans to reduce the stressors, and if a majority of workers don't feel the company has successfully lessened workplace stress, they or the government can sue for damages. For the time being, the code is in a testing phase with mandatory implementation expected next year.
A protest over sweatshop conditions in Cambodia's clothing factories turned deadly last weekend. Garment workers in Phnom Penh's textile district had been demanding higher wages in the reinstatement of a fired union supporter when riot police opened fire with Kalashnikov rifles, killing one and injuring 16 others. According to the National Labor Committee, Cambodia's 200,000 garment workers are mostly young women who work up to 80 hours per week for as little as $35 a month. They produce clothing sold at such U.S. retail chain stores as Banana Republic, Nike, Adidas, Old Navy, and The Gap.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
heard that. Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
I was
expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy will be back tomorrow. He is ill today. Sitting in for Mike is me. I'm Charlie Langton, sitting in. We're talking about some of the issues of the day. 1-800-TALK-YES, and I will get to your calls. A lot of people on the line. 1-800-825-5937. We're on the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. And, of course, on satellite radio at Sirius Stream 145 all over the country. My guest for this segment is Professor Brian Kalt. He is a professor at Michigan State University, the Detroit College of Law. He has just completed a law review article, which is a legal treatise on whether or not there's any type of impact on most states and the federal government's prohibition on felons being allowed to serve on juries. He's concluded that there is a disproportionate amount of exclusion from the jury pool, especially black men. He also takes the position that it is time now that we put felons back on the juries. And maybe we should take a look at that, although there's a lot of law against him. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's the number to call the program right now. Aaron from Pittsburgh, North Carolina, you've been very patient. Thank you. You have a question for Professor Kalt?
Yes, I do. I'm a high-tech worker. I was lucky enough to come up through the ranks in the early 90s when things were booming. And this may be a little bit off his topic, but I wondered if he had a comment to make on the economic disadvantages put on people who have felony records and misdemeanor records. I had a traffic-related misdemeanor on my record, and it caused me to stay out of work for about a year.
Why was that, if I can ask, Aaron?
It was a bad personal choice. I was pulled over a couple of years ago. My plates were out of date. My insurance was out of date.
And well, why did it cost you a loss of jobs, though? Those are usually those some. Well, not a plate might be a civil infraction. It could be a misdemeanor.
Well, what happened was I did a really bad thing. I was young and scared. I gave the cop a wrong name, and that's interfering with an officer. It's a misdemeanor offense here in North Carolina.
The plot thickens.
And yeah.
All right. And, why did it cost you a job, though?
And it cost me a job, and I know a lot of other people down here that they've done similar things. They have a misdemeanor on their record, and high-tech companies won't touch them. And I just wondered, in his research, did he come across any of the economic disadvantages, and wonder if he could comment about that.
Professor Kalt?
Well, one thing that I looked at was a lot of states have laws that require when you get a license to be in a certain line of work, anything from a police officer or security guard to a hairdresser, you have to get a license. And in a lot of states, there were licensing restrictions if you had any sort of criminal history. Usually that would be for a felony, not a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. A lot of states are moving away from that. Sometimes, first of all, they realize that being a hairdresser doesn't always have a lot to do with what some of these felonies were about, and they wanted to treat people as individuals and look on a case-by-case basis. So things like that, states have been liberalizing. On the jury issue, they haven't. As far as what private companies do, I haven't looked at that a lot, but it is an issue. I looked more at what happens when felons get out of prison, and what happens when they get out of prison. What do they need? They need economic opportunity. That's what keeps them from going back to prison. And if we do things that leave them hamstrung and make it harder for them to get a good job and to turn their lives around, well, what do we expect is going to happen?
Professor?
Exactly. I think I have a good case in point. Actually, I have a friend who was an excellent system and network administrator. he was lucky enough to be hired by some of these companies that were just scooping up people. They didn't do a background check at the time. He had made a big mistake in his teenage years, had a felony on his record. Now he's flipping burgers and, you know, his talents are going, you know, completely wasted. It's sad.
You know, I didn't think, Professor, maybe you can shed some light on this, but I didn't think that as an employer I could ask if you've been convicted of a misdemeanor, certainly. Am I allowed permissible? Is that a permissible question in an employment interview situation?
This is a bit out of my area, but I believe so. A criminal conviction's a criminal conviction.
Oh yeah, every place that I applied to in the past year, that was always a standard item midway through the paperwork.
Wow. In fact, it's fairly standard for them to ask just if you've been arrested, let alone if you've been convicted.
Is that right? I just thought there were some prohibitions on that, because obviously, as you said, Professor Brian Cult, that yes, the people that are getting out of prison, they need some economic benefit, they need a job is what they're going to do. Otherwise, they're going to be right back into prison. And I would venture to say, although I don't have any statistics in front of me, that the vast amount of people who are in prison, not a vast amount, many people in prison get there because it's an economic issue. Would you agree with me? Maybe I'm just saying something that's not totally supportive, but there's a lot of economic pressures on people that get them into prison. They steal, they do something dishonest, they lie. I mean, those types of things. And it's all to get money. They sell drugs, for example, all those types of things.
There's a very strong correlation.
Mm.
And the serving on a jury, that's the other thing. The courts, looking at this issue, haven't been too impressed with the argument that this really keeps someone from going back to prison. Oh, someone would say, oh, if only I could have served on a jury, that would have turned my life around. But it's just another barrier to being reintegrated into the community, and it's a barrier for the community, too, to have a real representation there. And it puts the prosecutors in a position of being able to choose in the medium term who's going to be on these juries, and it allows some perpetuation. Once someone's a felon, then they're a felon. Why? Because they were prosecuted. When you show up for jury service, they don't ask you if you've ever committed a felony. They only ask you if you've been convicted. And we know there are a lot more crimes committed out there than there are prosecuted. So it's also sort of giving some more power to the prosecution that we don't really think of. We like to think that the jury is sort of independent.
Let me ask Aaron, if I may, from North Carolina. Aaron, if you were on a or if you were being charged with a crime, would you want a convicted felon to sit in judgment of you?
I guess it would just be, it would depend on the situation. You know, if this guy had served his time and this is something that, he'd paid his debt to society, it really wouldn't bother me personally.
I'm just shocked at so many states out there. What's the number, Professor Brian Cult? How many states ban felons from serving on juries?
31 states and the federal government.
Wow.
And for the record, the other 19 states that don't haven't had their systems fall apart or anything like that, so...
I tell you, you do the crime, you're going to pay the time, and for many
and
times, and more. And we, as Professor Brian Cult, Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law, mentioned that you want to get a license, you might not be able to. You want to own a gun, forget about that. You want certain jobs, forget about that. You want to work in the public sector, forget it. Voting, as we've already heard about, forget it in many states. What's the number on that one, Professor Brian Cult? Voting, how many states don't allow felons to vote?
There are 8 that ban you for life. There are a few that make you wait after you've come out. There are a couple that let you vote while you're in prison.
Which one? Which state? Do you know offhand? I'm just curious.
Offhand, I believe Maine is one of them, and I have it somewhere in my 700 footnotes here is the answer to that question. But.
All right, we'll hold that thought for a moment. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate
the
call.
All right, thanks, Tom. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm having fun today. This is great. I was kind of shocked to hear Mike Beloy is sick, but he will be back tomorrow, but this is kind of fun. Join us in the conversation. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number here, 1-800-825-5937. We're on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. And Sirius Stream 145, of course, is our satellite Radio, Professor Brian Kalt. He is a law professor. You teach, what do you teach over there anyway?
Constitutional law and torts and administrative law.
All right, so you follow all the gamut. Let me throw a question a little bit different than our topic today. A judge in New York asked an Arab American woman if she was a terrorist when she went to court last month to fight a parking ticket. The judge today resigned. this judge thought this was funny. This judge, and this judge is 79 years old from the information I have here. He's a justice, a village justice, which I'm assuming in most states it's the municipal court or it's the district court. It's the court that deals with the parking tickets. But the judge asked this person, this Arab American woman, if she was a terrorist. Is this something that, it's hard to justify this, but is this something that this guy could lose his license for, Professor?
Probably not. I don't think it would rise to that level, although I'm not surprised that he resigned. I think, as many things like that as we hear about, sometimes the response is heartening. And maybe he thought he was being funny, but I don't know how funny he thinks it is now.
We were talking earlier about political sensitivity and some of the politics that creeps its way into our court system. We really can't deny it. From your view as a constitutional law professor, how much do you think politics or the political correctness gets its way into court decisions?
Well, it depends. If the case is about a politically sensitive issue, then you're going to see a lot of that. When my first job out of law school was a judicial clerkship, on the I clerked on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which sits in Cincinnati, the Federal Circuit. And I have to say, in about 95% of the cases, it had nothing to do with anything. The judges all agree it's just a straightforward application of the law. It's those cases where it's about, like the affirmative action case at the University of Michigan, where it's about something that's already sensitive, that those fault lines will show. And then every once in a while you have something like that judge in New York that you mentioned, just sort of bringing something like that into it from out of left field.
1-800-TALK-YES. That is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We're on the web, www.ieamericaradio.com. And tune us in, satellite radio, Sirius, Stream 145. We're just all over the place. Charlie Langton today sitting in for Mike Malloy. Wayne from Seattle, thanks for joining me on the program today.
Hi, I have a question that relates to both constitutional law and international law.
Great.
My understanding is that treaties that are signed by the United States are essentially the supreme law of the land. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right.
And I also have an understanding that when we joined the UN, we signed a treaty not to wage aggressive war as a part of the fallout of World War II, where we tried the Nazis for waging aggressive war.
War is pretty aggressive. I'm sorry, Wayne, I'm not following.
In other words, aggressive wars would be where you're attacking a country that is not attacking you or is not threatening to attack you.
Like Iraq?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
I want to get a legal opinion.
That's a good question. What's the relationship of a treaty with regard to what the United States does say in Iraq? Good question, Wayne. Professor?
And then if that is the case, that we waged aggressive war in Iraq, and does that mean that Bush violated the supreme law of the land and violated his oath to uphold the Constitution? And would that be an impeachable offense?
All right. Well, let's see what constitutional law professor Brian Kalt, Michigan State University. What do you think about that one?
Well, actually, impeachment is something that I have looked at in some previous work. As far as treaties are concerned, they are treated as the supreme law of the land in the same way that federal statutes are. If there's something in the Constitution that the treaty is inconsistent with, the Constitution wins. If there's a statute that is passed since the treaty was signed that supersedes the treaty or conflicts with the treaty, just like a new statute can sort of rub out an old one, a new statute can rub out a part of an old treaty. If there is a provision in a treaty, as you describe, that is inconsistent with something the president has done, then the question becomes, who decides? It would probably be pretty hard to go into court and make that argument. But things like this, as you mentioned, impeachment, they're really, that's what impeachment was supposed to be for. If there is a disagreement over whether I broke the law, well, that's something that we'll hash out in local court here in East Lansing, Michigan. But if the president has done something illegal, that's going to be an inherently political issue. And so it, I would say, properly should be debated in Congress and considered as a legal argument in Congress, debated in Congress, and through the lens of impeachment. And as President Ford said when he was in the House, an impeachable offense is anything that a majority of the House says it is. It doesn't look with the current House of Representatives like that would happen.
Right. Would it be, I would imagine there would be plenty of precedent set from the Nuremberg trials exactly what constitutes waging aggressive war to draw on, but would it be possible, I mean, what I hear you saying is the House of Representatives is the only way to bring a case. There would be no way for an individual citizen to start the ball rolling.
You mean for impeachment purposes?
Pardon me?
And if you for impeachment purposes, I mean, could a private citizen start an impeachment proceeding? Is that the question?
Well, yeah, or bring a civil case that would spill over into impeachment if it were found that there were a violation.
It would be sort of hard for an individual citizen to go into court. First of all, they'd have to have what we call standing. They would have to show that they personally had been injured in some way, and the courts have been pretty clear that just saying that you've been injured because you're a citizen and a taxpayer and you want the laws to be followed, that's not enough.
How about having a relative who died in Iraq?
Well, something like that would be a necessary first step to get into court. But then, even once you're in court, that's not it's not going to be easy to get a court to sort of delve into those issues. And the Nuremberg precedents, they're going to be not the same as a sort of a domestic precedent would be. There's a lot of lot of discussion in international law of how applicable it is, how binding it is, and that's not my field. I can't just give you my sense that it would be very difficult to get a court to really take that as seriously as maybe some congressmen would.
All right, hold on there. Professor Brian Kaltz, professor, talking about a lot of the issues of the day. Stay with me for the next couple of moments. Charlie Langton sitting in for Mike Malloy. 1-800-TALK-YES. Back.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Now,
Everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Seff Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
A man was sentenced to 10 years in prison for a car crash that killed his girlfriend while they were having sex behind the wheel. It's true. It's in the heaven in Illinois. And he was convicted today, apparently. I guess. Whatever. Charlie Langton's sitting in for Mike Malloy today. He is ill, but he will be back tomorrow, same time. Thank you, Mike, for letting me sit in today. I had a lot of fun. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's the number here. We only have a couple of minutes to get one last remark in. Professor Brian Cult, who's been with me for this segment, he is a constitutional law professor at Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law. He has studied, amongst other things, whether felons should be able to sit on juries. 31 states bar felons from serving on juries. One of our fundamental rights or obligations as a citizen of this country. Professor Cult, in your dealings, are you looking at the Supreme Court and maybe doing a little number check off to see which justice may be the next to go?
Well, the speculation was that Rehnquist would go, and then now they're saying that he won't. I say there's no point speculating. We'll just wait and see if they step down, when they step down, who it is, what we'll do. And there'll be plenty of time to worry about it then. They've been keeping us guessing for 9 years now.
You think the upcoming, I mean, should a Supreme Court justice step down, the hearings to confirm that Supreme Court justice, do you think it will be record-setting, money, interest groups, the talk of the town? Do you think that'll be the biggest news story going?
I think it's going to get ugly. I don't think there's any question. If it happens this summer, it's going to get ugly. And the other thing is that the University of Michigan affirmative action case, that decision will probably be handed down on the last day. That'll probably also be when any justice who's stepping down announces it, or soon after that. So there's going to be an uproar however that case comes out, and so it would be that would kick off the whole confirmation debate.
Yeah, I think it will, too. And I think, actually, the University of Michigan, I know you're from Michigan, and actually I am, too, but we've been following that. That's a national case. When that case does get decided by the Supreme Court, I think it's going to be a big, big story. I think we're going to see a major change in the way people go to college. I think that's going to have a – I think that's probably the biggest case. You think that's the hottest case going in the Supreme Court now, Professor Colt?
I think so, easily, easily. And there's no standard. However the case comes out, we'll have a standard. And so people will be able to argue about it instead of spending 25 years wondering what the standard is, like we did with the Bakke case in 78.
All right, Professor Brian Call, Michigan State University, Detroit College of Law, constitutional law professor. We've talked before. I appreciate this hour. This was fun for me. I learned a lot picking your brain, and I appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Mike Malloy will be back on these airwaves tomorrow. We wish him the best in his recovery. I'm Charlie Lighton, sitting in today on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you very much. Have yourself a great night. Bye-bye now.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give